If you're wondering about what you should be giving, you know, the Old Testament has that principle of a tenth. You know, that's a good starting point. God doesn't tell you in the New Testament specifically. He tells you to have the right heart. He tells you to give actually generously and not sparingly. So that implies even more from my perspective. That's a good place to start. It's a good number to think about, something to pray about.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, today you're going to touch on a touchy subject, and this subject has to do with giving in the church.
Yes, Dave, indeed. We're going to see in Nehemiah that when these Jews repented, the fruit of their repentance was manifest in faithful giving to the Lord's work. Well, turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 31 through 39.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Otherwise, they would have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, once having been cleansed, would no longer have consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, "Sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasure." Then I said, and this is the Son of God, "Behold, I have come in the roll of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." And after saying above, "Sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast not desired, nor hast taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law," then he said, "Behold, I have come to do thy will." He takes away the first, that's the first covenant, in order to establish the second, that's the new covenant. By this will, that's Jesus coming and doing the Father's will, dying for us and going to the cross, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It's once for all. And so these things that we're going to read about back in our passage, they have to do with the old sacrificial system. But the principle remains that God had instituted that system as a shadow to point to the reality in Christ. But there were things that needed to be done, and people were told they were to aid in these things and participate, and they had not done so. And they're acknowledging, we're no longer going to neglect the house of our Lord. That's really the key thing, neglecting the house of the Lord our God. So let's take a look back in Nehemiah, verse 32. He says, "We also placed ourselves under obligation to contribute yearly one-third of a shekel for the service of the house of the Lord our God." We have the house of the Lord our God, and they are committing to obey. And if you look at verse 39, the very end, it says, "Therefore, we will not neglect the house of our God." We're not going to neglect it. And that word neglect speaks of leaving. It's translated forsake. We're not going to forsake God's house. That would be the temple and the sacrificial system that's done in the temple. We're going to see. And by the way, the first thing that gets forsaken when believers are walking in sin is God's house. And what do I mean by that? Now, it's the church. It's his people. And when we gather together to minister to one another, to serve, the apostles in the early church were devoted to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer. We're not to forsake our assembling together, as some have made it their habit, Hebrews chapter 10. We're not to separate and seek our own desires. We're actually to provide for, as we're going to see today, the operation of the body of Christ and those who are ministering. In the New Testament, we're not to forsake that. And so we'll see that principle here as we look at our passage. So here, we're going to see that much of it has to do with providing financial contributions for the functioning and operation of the temple and for the Levites to take care of them according to the law, which had been rejected. They had rejected that. I can tell you right now, if you're not giving, and we'll see this, from a right heart to the Lord's work on a continual basis, as we'll see from the first fruits, your heart probably is not right with the Lord. Some of the first things that slip by is giving to the Lord or being around his people. If you're not giving, I'm not talking about out of compulsion because I'm telling you that you need to be giving. I'm talking about a heart that is changed. You know, when I came to faith, I immediately started giving. I didn't need anyone to tell me. Now, sometimes we do need to be instructed. There's other areas I needed to be instructed in. But the reality is we should have a heart to give back to the Lord, as we're going to see. They were actually commanded to there, but they were commanded to do it from a right heart. So then, they were convicted, specifically that they were not, that they had forsaken the house of the Lord. And specifically, as we'll see, this idea of giving to it and providing for it. Look at verse 32. We also placed ourselves under obligation to contribute yearly 1/3 of a shekel for the service of the house of God, for the showbread, for the continual grain offering, for the continual burnt offering, for the Sabbath, the new moon, the appointed times, for the holy things, for the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel, and for all the work of the house of our God. We're committed to giving that money. In Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 to 16, God made it clear that everyone who was numbered among the people of Israel were to give a certain amount here. They were to give a specific amount. It's in the law. They were to give it. God even specified what it was and what it was for. It was for the operation of the service of the Lord in the temple and, in the context of that, for those who would be serving in that. And we see that. And if you look at Exodus 30, you don't need to look there now, but you can look there later, verses 13 and 15, we have this phrase as a contribution to the Lord. When you give to the church, you're giving to God. Now, God will use that to accomplish his purposes, which he will state in his word he's going to do. As we'll see, provide for the needs of those ministering, provide for those in need, provide for the needs of the ministry and the operation of the ministry, as we see. So then, when you give to the work of the ministry, the Lord's church, you're given to the Lord. We'll see that in a moment. And so they had neglected the service of the house, but they're making a commitment. We're going to give like we're supposed to. They were under a covenant, remember. Then look at verse 34. They also gave not only their finances, they gave of themselves. They gave their time. Some people just write the check and they're never around. The reality is we give of ourselves too. Notice here. Likewise, we cast lots for the supply of wood among the priests, the Levites, and the people, in order that they might bring it to the house of our God, and remember, house of our God, according to our fathers' households at fixed times annually, to burn on the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. So they cast lots to bring wood. Now, if you had everybody bringing wood, there'd be too much wood. They don't need that much wood, but it's for the sacrifices. So they cast lots of who would be doing that, that service of bringing that wood to the temple. So they cast lots to do so. We're going to obey the Lord. We're going to help the functioning of the temple. We're going to do that like we should have. Then notice they gave of the first fruits. Look at verse 35. And in order that they might bring the first fruits of the ground and the first fruits of all the fruit of the tree to the house of the Lord annually. We see this in Leviticus 24, 5 and 6, Exodus 23, 19, Exodus 34, 26, that they were to give of the first fruits. The first, that's the best. That's the best and the first of the harvest. They were to give of that. Then look at verse 36. And to bring to the house of our God the firstborn of our sons, of our cattle, the firstborn of our herds and the flocks, as it is written in the law, for the priests who are ministering in the house of our God. So they were to bring the firstborn. Obviously, they were to have the firstborns that opened the womb. We see that in the law. They were to be brought there. And then we have certainly those animals firstborn they were to bring. Exodus 13:1, we see the first fruits belong to the Lord, man and beast. We're acknowledging it's his. And notice we have the idea of the first and best continuing, verse 37. We'll also bring the first of our dough. We call dough money, right? But that was their dough. That was their actual bread dough. Our contributions, the first of every fruit of every tree, the new wine, the oil, to the priest and at the chambers, the house of our God. We see this in Leviticus 23:17 and 27:30. And then notice there's an acknowledgement they're going to obey the word. It continues. Look at the middle of verse 37. And the tithe of the ground to the Levites. This was the tithe of the ground. So this was giving the provision for the Levites to function. The Levites didn't work. They worked in the temple. And so they were given provision to function. For the Levites who are to receive the tithes in all the rural towns And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive tithes, and the Levites shall bring up a tenth of the tithes to the house. Even they're tithing on the tithes they're getting, right? Levites are going to bring a tenth of what they get, right? To the house of our God, to the chambers of the storehouse. For the sons of Israel and the sons of Levi shall bring the contribution of grain, the new wine, oil to the chambers. There are the utensils of the sanctuary, the priests are ministering, the gatekeepers, and the singers. And so here we see, prescribed by the law, they were to bring those things which provided for the Levites. And the Levites were to be giving a tenth of that to the Lord, as we see, and to provide for the operation of the temple and all that is done there. And so here we have this statement, thus we will not neglect the house of our God. They had neglected it. They had neglected what God's word had said they should be doing. They had neglected it. And they're committing, no, we're not going to neglect it anymore. We're going to do these very specific things. We're going to do in obedience. And there are some principles here. We're not under the law, but there's some principles. And we have in the New Testament for those of us in the church. We're all in the church if we're believers, right? Let me just share some of those briefly. First of all, when your heart is right, you're going to want to give for the functioning of the needs of the body of Christ. That's the church. Your heart's right. You're going to want to do so. There's a principle here, right? It's not going to be out of compulsion. You're also going to want to give for those who are in need. Now, the leaders are going to help you know who's in need. They're going to let you know. Paul let them know there was a need in Jerusalem. The elders were the people they dropped the contributions at in the early Acts, and they distributed it to those who were in need. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And these are New Testament principles for us because we're not under the law. If you're wondering about what you should be giving, you know, the Old Testament has that principle of a tenth of tithes, you know, and there's more tithes than just one, by the way, it's more than a tenth. You know, that's a good starting point. God doesn't tell you in the New Testament specifically, he tells you to have the right heart. And he tells you to give actually generously and not sparingly. So that implies even more from my perspective, but it's a good place to start. It's a good number to think about, something to pray about. 1 Corinthians 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed to the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, that would be Sunday, the first day of every week, that's when they meet, let each of you put aside and save as he may prosper, that no collection be made when I come. And when I arrive, whomever you approve, I shall send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. That's where we get our practice in a sense of the first day of the week. That's there. But then go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, because this really helps us. You see, the Corinthians, and we're going through this, and we'll get to this, they had been soured towards Paul. And they had made a commitment to give to this situation in Jerusalem, believers. And they got soured towards Paul because of false teachers, so they weren't going to do it anymore. They kind of said, forget it. And so Paul had to woo them, in a sense, back to their first commitment and the reasons why they committed righteously in the Lord, that they would do from the right heart and give. Do from the right heart. And this is part of his exhortation. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. Here's a principle for giving. If you're a chintzy giver, God's telling you, here's how it's going to work. Okay? Sow sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. This is not a give-to-get situation. It just means you should have a heart to be generous, and God will take care of you. And he'll actually give you abundance, we'll see later on, to actually give more. It says here, let each one do as he has purposed in his own heart. So you make a choice, you purpose, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's the heart attitude. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. See, God is able to make grace abound, give you the money to do it. And he says here, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed. This is the context of giving your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Very interesting. And you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. And he says, for the ministry of service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. It brings thanks to God. says, because of the proof given by this ministry that they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also by prayer on your behalf yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You know, God gave the greatest gift ever, his son Jesus. And he even ties it into this idea of graciousness in giving. So then, we see, and I hear people say, oh, I don't want to give out of compulsion. But they never quote the rest of the passage, which reveals that, you know, he who sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So then, if you're a chintzy giver and you lean on your own understanding, work it all out so that it's all mechanicalized, it's not from a heart that's of gratitude, then it reveals a lack of faith and you're going to reap sparingly. But if you're a gracious giver in the Lord and God knows how much you need to give, he'll prompt you in terms of what you should be giving. He'll give you your heart to know what he desires you to do. So then, first of all, we don't give out of compulsion. Secondly, we should give the first and the best. We should not give the leftovers. Proverbs chapter 3, honor the Lord from your wealth. That's a command. And from the first of all your produce, so that your barns may be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. Just personally for me, you know, when the Lord blesses me with a paycheck, when he blesses me with the sale of a house, he blesses me with whatever it might be, it just in my heart, I want to give back to him. I want to give back to him what he's given to me. I want to give back, and that's a desire because he's given it all to me. It's an act of faith. It's an act of trust. It's an act of love. And as we'll see, it's an act of worship, whatever it might be. And so look at Philippians chapter 4, Philippians 4:15. And you yourselves know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I departed Macedonia, no church shared with me the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which it increases to your account. Very interesting spiritual math here. But I have received everything in full and have abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. Notice what he says, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We give the first and the best. It's an act of worship. We give the first and the best to the Lord. And Paul says, I don't seek the gift, but what it profits on your account. Just a few quick passages here. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Matthew 6:2, when you therefore give alms, do not sound the trumpet like the hypocrites. He goes on that when you do it, he says, your alms should be in secret, that your Father in heaven will repay you in secret. Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust, where thieves do not break in or steal, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. So we have principles here. Give the best. It's worship. It's not out of compulsion. And one more principle, which goes with what we're seeing here, it's the reality that God uses it to provide for the needs of those who are ministering in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let's look at that real quick. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Or do not Barnabas and I not have the right to refrain from working? Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of the fruit of it? Or who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock? I'm not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say these things? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. God is not concerned about oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it was written, because of the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much that we shall reap material things from you? It's a principle. Paul says, hey, I don't have to work in that context because I'm working, and we should receive that from the body of Christ. We see this also in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let elders who rule well be considered worthy of a double honor. That's double pay, and that's what it says here. Especially those who work hard on preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he's threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. And I read earlier during our time for our worship prayer that Paul writes the Galatians. He says, and let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Galatians 6:6. Share with him who teaches. If you're taught the word, share with the one who teaches you. Now, I'm not saying this to try and get money from you guys. You know, it always bothers me when I show these passages because I don't want you to think wrongly of me, but this is what God's word says. He says, do not be deceived. We always quote this verse, but we don't see it in the context of giving to the support of the body of Christ. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. You see that. You can sow to your flesh or to the spirit. So then we have these principles for us, not out of compulsion, should be giving the best and first and foremost, should support the ministry, should be for the help of people, and should be an act of worship. Paul said what they were given was well-pleasing. It was a fragrant aroma, Philippians chapter 4. And so we need to do that by faith. The possible to please God apart from faith, we trust him. We're giving back just a small amount. We realize everything we have is from him. And we know that there's not one thing we have that he hasn't given us that's good. So then, back to our passage. We have these Jews who have repented, and one of the fruits of their repentance in a specific area is committing to do what's right in regards to the house of the Lord. And maybe there's some of you today who have forsaken the house of the Lord. You know you have not been serving as you should. You know you haven't been around the body of Christ as you should. You know you haven't been giving as you really should from a right heart. Maybe today's the day to deal with that, confess it, and make a commitment to do what is right. Are you neglecting the church of the Lord your God? Well, a fruit of repentance would be acknowledging that. Acknowledging that. You see, when you're in sin and you get right with the Lord, you want to be around the body of Christ. You want to give. All these things are just natural in a right heart. So then, we've seen these Jews committed to walking in obedience to God's word, specifically in the areas where they have failed. Regarding relationships, regarding work and money, and regarding supporting the work of God's work and workers. And next time we'll see one more area, which is, where do we live? Is it where God wants us to live? We'll see that next time. So how about you? Is there any area where you need to say, Lord God, I failed here and I'm committed to doing what's right. I want to do the right thing. It's going to be a fruit that you're really repentant if you're willing to obey and desire to obey and then step out and do so.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, would you review the four principles you shared about giving from the scriptures and then sum up what we saw from Nehemiah?
Yes, Dave, I'd love to. Well, first of all, when your heart is right, you're going to want to give to the functioning and needs of the body of Christ, and it's not going to be out of compulsion. And secondly, this should be the first and best, the first fruits, not the leftovers. And folks, this is done in faith, trusting him to provide if we will give him the first and foremost. And third, this giving should amply supply the needs of those ministering in the body of Christ. And lastly, we need to remember that giving is an act of worship and that it's ultimately to the Lord. Folks, never forget, this is an act of worship which should bring all the glory to God. Well, are you neglecting the church of the Lord your God? Maybe today's the day to acknowledge that and get right with the Lord, and then there will be fruit. Now, we've seen these Jews acknowledge their sin and they repented, and we've seen the fruit of that repentance.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.